my friends, it's so wonderful to be with you again. We have been meeting like this for almost 10 years, sitting on this virtual bench together, visiting. I try to soothe your heart a bit or keep you company. Just be a friend. And I don't know if I've succeeded all this time, but I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful setup for me because I get to help you without having to hear your problems. That can really damage a relationship if we were sitting on this bench together. You might be compelled to tell me every little minutia of the things that are oppressing you or causing you real pain. And I understand that. But wouldn't it be nice if you just had a break where you didn't have to go through all that and you could just sit there and I'll do all the talking. And I promise not to talk about my problems. It's like you go to therapy and you go to say your stuff. Say, oh, I have a litany of sadness. And the doctor says, I don't mean to interrupt and I'm going to let you finish. But I have to tell you about this wonderful new product I've discovered. It's a type of cheese. And I discovered it when I went to one of those historic recreation villages. And it's made from butterfly milk. So I don't know, something like that. And that helps you. Now, does it? Sometimes it does, and sometimes it does not. I find that the entire world, or at least biology, works on variation, on chance. Throwing something out there, seeing what sticks. That's the way evolution works. I won't explain it, but it is. So what I do is I try to roll the dice. Now, does that work every time? No. But over the course of 10 years, my grandmother used to rub Vicks Vapor Rub on my chest when I had a cold. Does this do anything? I assure you, it does not. Well, I mean, it doesn't do anything demonstrable. You can't do a study where they rub Vicks Vapor Rub on your chest if you have a cold and it cures you or maybe even alleviates your symptoms. I don't know. It's aromatic, so I could see, like, I think I'm breathing better because now I can smell the air. But my grandmother was convinced that this actually was absorbed into the lungs through the chest. And that you would send this sort of like, woo, spicy stuff. I think for the Irish, it's like, ooh, mint. It burns. And this spicy stuff into your chest and it would wash out all the virus or whatever's in there. Now, my grandmother was a very nurturing, caring person, and she took very good care of me over time. But if you were to look just at one point during that, you'd think, is she, though? I have her diaries, and I can see every time I was sick, and for some reason I had an awful lot of fevers. I mean, for weeks at a time, I'd have a fever in the hundreds of, like, you know, as hard as 103 fever today. I think, I must have been hallucinating. And I do remember hallucinating a lot. And I remember being, I thought it only happened a couple times, but according to my grandmother's diaries, this was a regular thing. I was constantly being plunged in ice baths to reduce this fever. And I don't know if that helped. But what I'm saying is my grandmother took good care of me over time. It's a long game. The artist Jim Roach in Tallahassee once said, there's two types of art. There's high impact, short duration, and low impact, long duration. And then every other permutation between there, I imagine. I don't know if he said that. I don't even remember. But it struck me. It also stuck with me. I call that striking with me. It struck with me. And we struck out together, that idea and I mean, struck out like on our trip, not like baseball. And I thought about that, and I thought some things have a low impact initially, but their duration is long. like imperfect love. And sometimes that's better, right? You know, you've had love itself is like that. Some of it's high impact, short duration. Oh, love affairs. Oh, this love feels so intense. And, oh, my goodness. I am so in love with, his name is Glass. I don't know. George Glass. I don't know who I'm in love with. No, I'm just imagining. This is imaginary. And then that doesn't last long. And then there's like your friend, Dufo. And what Dufo is often embarrassing, but always there. Who helps you move? Dufo. Who comes over when your basement is flooded with human waste? Because it got clogged, the sewer line got clogged in the yard because the Orangeburg collapsed. And by collapsed, I mean it gets a bubble. Why? Because it's pressed tar paper. And eventually that's going to swell up, and then the sewerage can't get through it. I say it like that because I have lots of Midwestern listeners, and I don't want them to misunderstand what I'm talking about. Everything that goes down your toilet, it's not always poop. Sometimes it's, a lot of times it's drinks that are too sweet. Like, why did I get this red soda? And I'll put that down there. Always flush or you'll be scared. And the next time you go, oh no, what happened? And there it's chair wine or something. It's not blood coming from your privates. So this long duration love is something that I aim to provide. And you know, restaurants are like that, too. Do you have a little restaurant or bistro or club or bar in your town? And it's not great, but it's been open for 20 years. It's reliable. Sometimes that's better. Occasionally, another restaurant will open up. Spectaculos. Oh, in the 80s, oh, Spectaculos or McSpectaculos or something like that. Chicken O' Beers, or I don't know. They had really fun. But see, they were out-of-town franchises, and they didn't always, they didn't always care or something. But then your mom-and-pop place, literally, is your mother and father, and everybody feels obligated and a certain sense of guilt to go there. And that's fine. That kind of long love has got all sorts of nonsense mixed into it. Look at athletes that do long endurance things versus short things. They just look different. And one's not better than the other, I don't think. I think they're gradations of experience. I haven't been, and it's also relative, isn't it? Say, how long have you been on radio in this station right here, WFMU, that you love? And oh my gosh, it's like a family in that I don't even know half of them. But it's been 10 years. How about that? Oh, some of them, though, are like family, and I love them, but it's complicated and all that kind of stuff, too. And but it should be all different and messed up in variation. Sameness is death. Because if you were going to, like, encounter the environment, which is changing all the time, and you don't have variation, forget it. Some of the best movies, I think, that tell you about how evolution works are those movies like, you know, I'm assembling this group of 12 people, with like Mission Impossible or cowboy movies where they've all got different characteristics. You're the explosive. Great Escape, maybe. Everybody has a different from each according to his profession or hobby. That'd be great. And we need everybody. Couldn't you imagine? You might be in a situation where you say, who can tie a fly? And you go meet like a zipper? You go, no, like we're fly fishing. Oh, no, not me. So anyway, who knows what they'll need from you? You could be, gosh, that'd be something. You're in a prison camp and you're all digging out. And they say, who has any experience with decoupage? decoupage, and particularly the brand name Mod Podge. Who has worked with that product? You say, oh, I have a craft. So we have different kinds of crafters here. And we have one person who's just, they know their glue guns. It's scary. They have a bandolera with glue sticks and everything. Ready to go. I bet that's somebody. I've seen that somewhere, I bet, and I'm just regurgitating that. Isn't that a lot of what communication is? Just, it's going out there and eating all sorts of random facts and coming home and puking it into your babies, into the nest. Just like a mama eagle or your own mother. Who knows if you had to chew your food. Have you had to do that? You could do that, though, if you want. People buy baby food, and they go, oh, no, I'll just take some peas. I'll chew them up. I won't swallow them. And you go, ew, and you spit them into the baby's mouth. May I remind you where the baby just was? So I don't know that that's, I think that for a while, until you realize it's doing it. My mother would sometimes, if there was like some schmutz on my face, my mother would reach into her purse, grab a Kleenex. Who knows its freshness, whether, because it doesn't come out of the, it's already out of the case, so who knows where it's been. And then she'd take it, and then she would lick it, use her saliva as a sort of a human 409 or whatever, and then she'd wipe it off my face, and I was disgusted. And then there's horrible. I am well past it. Now that I realize what's going on, no. I wonder if birds are like that. So you go home and go, let's go see Ma. All right, we're going to fly and see. Can I puke something down you? No. We brought you a rat, Mom. All right, you don't want me to eat it and puke it into you? No, you eat it. It's for you. All right, you take care. How long do eagles live? I don't even know. I wish we could. I'm glad they're not pets. Even pets, I love my dogs, but I feel burdened by them, and I also feel like it's just a messed up. It's everything about it, our relationship. I love them, and I think they love me in a way. I don't even know. We depend on one another, but I don't know if it's good. You know, it just seems weird. So how'd we get here? And my dogs are odd. You know, they have odd, they do weird things. I don't know if their existence is meaningful. It might be to them, but if it's just based on experience even, I feel like they're not really doing enough. So, I mean, we have little adventures and things like that, but one of them can't get around very well. But it still likes to go out and eat any kind of scat it can find. So I try to keep it amused like that, or throw things. Where'd it go? We'll problem solve. I do that with humans, too. Where'd it go? What? Your record that you lent me. Where'd it go? I don't know, man. There it is. Here it is. All right. Is that an object permanence thing? The dog will go get it. And humans eventually know you're hiding it. Or I think if I threw my friend's record, would he run at me first or the record? You wonder about that. I always won that in an accident. You know, what would I run? Would I run to the other person and scream at them first? We never know our reactions. Oh, are you my priority? You are right now. I am wherever I am. I think that when I get lost or my travel is interrupted, the car breaks down or the flight gets canceled, I say, I live here now. That's no problem. I know how life works. It is impermanent. My expectations, they are often wrong. When my expectations coincide with what happens, I think that I've been predictive. When they don't, I'm very confused because I think, well, wait a minute. I'm all predictive and all. Or is it just, you know, half right all the time? 50-50 chance of being right, and that's what's going on. It could be. Maybe I don't know anything that's going to happen. So when the unexpected happens to me, I say, well, hey, here we are. And the impermanence of things, that's been driven home to me more than a dog that keeps running away. And I was like, gosh, here's that dog again. I thought I sent it on its way, but it's back. And there it is, you beautiful thing. You, the impermanence. And I've learned to love this dog, this Mononoaware dog or whatever it is. I love it. It's brokenness. I love its temporary nature now. Now I get it. And I don't try to send this dog away anymore. I sit with the things, anything, whatever comes by. I don't care. I don't care who sits next to me now. I can't control it. I should never have cared. I could never have controlled it. I'm glad it's you, though. Oh, I'd whittle with you, but I feel like it's a liability and a hazard. So let's not do that. You might cut yourself. We don't need to whittle. There's already so many spoons. You should be able to check a list and say, are there enough spoons in the world? Yes, don't make any more. Houses, everything. You should check before you make it. It's like a band name. So we're going to call ourselves Cosmic Principles. Well, you better Google it first, because there's probably a dozen Cosmic Principles. You know, don't make another one. Don't make another spoon. Don't make another phone. I think, you know, and we should just, there's a limit on how many you have. Now, that's where you say, well, tulip mania. That's the great thing about tulips, is they break down, you know. But these spoons, and some of them, once, you got to remember this too. If it lasts to 100 years, it becomes sentient and animated. Yes. Oh, household items, when they reach that century mark, they become a yokai. Everyone knows this. I've had old tools jump off the wall at me like that, saying, I'm your grandfather's hammer. And I've had it. So I try to get rid of them before that. That's what flea markets are for. See, this tool is getting ready to come alive, and I need to pawn it off on somebody. Let it be your problem over there. Lady selling religious pamphlets. I might just toss it in her box of rusty stuff. She wouldn't even notice it. I wouldn't do that to another human. Once you have noticed something, you can't unnotice it. For good or bad, you can't pretend that you don't see your neighbor's lost sweater. Say, dang it. I feel that way when I get the misdelivery. I go, dang you, Bible. Now I got to walk out and walk it across the street, don't I? I can't pretend I didn't just, can't I just throw it in the bush or something? No, this is your neighbor's half a case of moisturizer. Bring it over there. You are commanded to do so. That's what a mitzvah is. It's not a good deed. It's a commandment. You have to do it. Say, oh, that's not, it's a mitzvah to bring that to that. No, you got to. And it's not like the punishment from, you say, well, the Lord will punish you. Let's just say, let's take that off the table altogether for a minute. And say that if you're thinking about these things, you're thinking about right and wrong and morality. So you're not, let's say you're not, also you're not a psychopath because you're actually considering this. So take away God, take away that, and leave you as just a person walking around with a conscience. And then you see the idea that if you ignore things to try to get out of tough decisions or actions, that they don't go away. There is a sort of punishment, or at least there's consequences internally as you try to figure things out. So I'm just saying, if your brain works that way, you might consider these tips. And that's how I see them. I see a lot of them. I say, is this, can it help me? Let's say I'm not, it's not a literal thing. Can it help me? And I don't know that if it's a sin to, oh, it's a sin to benefit from the Bible without paying dues at one of the state-sanctioned denominations. And I say, well, heck, I don't know what to tell you. But I do think that the commandment that, you know, if you notice something, you really got to do. First of all, it ends up not being bad. I walk over there And is it a hassle? Yes, but I feel like, oh, good. You know, maybe I'm also, you know, modeling. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? I'm compelled to do it regardless. So I think commanded, compelled are the same thing if you're aiming to be caring. Now, how do I care for all my fellow man? I don't know exactly. I try to care for the ones I bump into, more or less physically, and yourself. And then I hope it's like, if I want peace for Kevin Bacon, I probably can provide peace and love to the person I'm in the movie with or next to, my neighbor. And we'll get to Kevin Bacon in just a few moves. And that's the beauty. And I feel I want to do that. Not specific. It doesn't have to be Kevin. Hey, Kevin. I was in a student film with, and his name's going to come to me, Ed Thomajohn. I was in a student film with Ed Thomajohn, and he was a Kazan era guy who I believe was in On the Waterfront inadvertently because he would read lines to like Brando or something. But anyway, I was in this like amateur movie with him, which put me in the Kevin Bacon game, I think, right? I mean, technically. So that's exciting. And then I was like, oh, I can trace it. I can get to him quickly. Now, think about this. Let's say I pass on something to you, some love or something, touch your heart. You say, oh, there's another confused simpleton like myself, loving, imperfect person who's telling me I'm okay, and I feel that, and I can pass it on. I don't have much wisdom, and there's very little that I say that other people don't say, especially Hallmark cards. You could go to your local stationery store, stand there at a rack, and you can get all the human wisdom that I've passed to you in the last 10 years. But with the exception of some strange advice, which may seem counterintuitive and which is hard to do, and I'll just say this once and then I'll move on and I'll tell you it's something that's changed my life. And that is that once you get as a sort of peace with yourself, sort of assume other people like you. Now, you don't even have to like them for this to be the case, and you don't have to do it in an arrogant way. It just gives an opening for that as an eventual possibility. Otherwise, you close the door to it. I know that sounds strange. But if I doubt that people like me, and often, you know, people do that too much, say, oh, I don't think others like me. And I used to do that, and I'd give off a terrible vibe of arrogance almost. And say, oh, you know, my shyness was not working. I was so afraid of being judged. And I thought, well, what is that saying about my opinion and of others and everything? So I've got to cope with this because I love people. I'm just scared of them. How do I get over being scared of them? And now I've felt this way since I was a little child. You know, I love all these people. I'm terrified. And I didn't know. So, and as a child, what I found worked was just, so you assume they like you. This is not the case all the time. But it leaves them, and if you do it in an informed way and say, well, it might not be the case, but it might in the future. I've totally had people meet me, misunderstand me for a while, and then they end up liking me. Now, if I had kind of written them off. That wouldn't happen. So it doesn't cost me anything to think that I hate you. Well, go ahead. That's all right. I think you like me. Just don't know you like me yet. No, I'm pretty sure I hate you. That's all right. Yeah. No, I don't think you do. I think I'm just going to assume you like me. And I do that when I meet people. I go, why wouldn't they like me? I haven't done anything to them. You know, if they don't like me because of my hat, oh, gosh, I don't really take that personally. That's nothing I did. I base everything on long term. Was I a good neighbor? Did I do something to you? Did I not show up? So that kind of instant dislike, I just disregard that as being not about me, ever. How could it be? So it keeps me from getting I would get upset if we'd known each other for a long time or something and you were like, I don't think you're a loyal friend, even if I'd help you move a million times. So there you go. Got that off my chest. No, gosh, there's nothing on my chest. There is. There's probably literally things on my chest, but there's nothing weighing on me right now. That also comes from forgetting. Oh, gosh, I'm probably forgetting so much I should be guilty about. That's a nice feeling. I've been set free.
Can't you remember? You've forgotten some bad things you've done.
Ugh. Nice, right? I'm sure that's the worst thing. That's bad about school, though. That's why you don't go to reunions. So you go, oh, I've forgotten some of my sins. I don't want to be reminded of them. Because I know maybe you've hurt somebody. You're still hurting them. But, you know, maybe you got to go face it, too. And they want to say, oh, they'd want to know that you'd gotten over it. Not really. I just wanted to tell you I've gotten over being mad at myself for bullying you. I felt for so many years I hated myself for bullying you. Now I've forgiven myself. How you doing? I see that you work out a lot. Oh, our lives affect one another so much, don't they? That's why I'm scared to do things sometimes. When I learned about, one time I was, I don't know whether I was having some instant oatmeal. And they used to, on the instant oatmeal, they used to have fun facts. And on the back of this one pack of instant oatmeal, one of the fun facts was the entire history of Taoism or Taoism. It's called, it would be Tao would be the concept, but the religious, when Westerners studied it, they would say and spell it Taoism, and that's okay. You can say that and nobody should laugh at you. But people say Taoism because they don't want to sound smart the same way they say Kurt Vile instead of Kurt Weill. Okay, so we're coming up on here on the 30-minute mark. We're giving away tickets. We're out here giving away bumper stickers. This is fantastic. Concert's coming up. We're out here giving away things, giving away cars, giving away things. Love to seeing you out here live at the corner of right here and right now and giving away, when I say cars, I don't mean literal cars or bumper stickers or tickets or pizza or pizza. I had a friend leave my house at a sleepover because he thought my grandmother was going to serve him peas in a pie instead of pizza pie because she couldn't hit those Z's hard enough. And that was another mistake that she made. I think I might have mentioned that in her eulogy. I go, she was a lot of things. Here's a list of her mistakes I made. It was all sad day, my grandmother's funeral. For some reason, there was one of those viewings, which is not, you don't need to have those. It's ridiculous, first of all. And this one was especially bad because my grandmother's dress had been put on backwards. And this is some sort of indignity. It looked like symbolic. Like, what did she do that she had her dress put on back? They'll dig her up in years and go, oh, this lady must have done something. She's got a dress on backwards. That means something. That must have meant something back then in 1990. I don't know. But It was, I might have said something about her, summed up her life like that. I might have pointed out that her love was loyal and enduring, and that's what made it valuable. You know, it's hard to do the hard work of being there, I think. And don't feel bad if you don't do it well.
So, oh, I'm a terrible friend.
It's whatever. You're probably fine. That's our little secret, is you're probably doing it fine. I'm not somebody who's saying, well, we'll just try to be better. I've never said that, you know, oh, good, like, figure out what you're bad at. And I say this, you're probably setting the bar too high, just generally for everything. And that C's are fine. I don't like the way we grade things. I don't like our better, best, all that nonsense. This A, B, C, D, everything. Because when then they tell you what they are, it's ridiculous what they think they mean. So C, they mean average. They go, well, no, it's not. That's C means in reality, close to failure. Barely functional. Somebody's, you know, that kind of thing. And A's are excellent. Like, you don't get many A's. Like, oh, that's the cream of the crop right there. Like, sometimes, every once in a while, you get a hole in one. And so I was like, no, you got to get a hole in one every hole. I'm like, I can't do it. I couldn't do it in school, you know? And because my attention is short. I used to want to make movies. I used to like to make movies, and a lot of times schools would have cameras, and they would have film cameras, and a lot of times the film cameras would not be electric; they'd be wind up. So you have to wind it up, which means that it only goes for so long, every shot. So you wind this up, you know, and it winds down again. So that's my attention span. So I would be able to be in class, and I'm going, okay, we're good. 1 minute, 90 seconds, done. Now I know how to learn like that, but it took me years and years. My brain goes off on tangents. If you start talking about something, and you'll see this on the comment board. So if I start talking about something and I say blah 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 blah, Clark bar, or something like that, or name a candy bar, squirrel nut zipper. Now I'm teaching about something else. Let's say it's a bigger lesson, or we're listing a bunch of things that are. You might hear that, and all of a sudden, you're thinking a lot of other thoughts. That's actually a good thing. That's not really what you'd say is distraction so much. Now, it doesn't always help. It's a great thing if you can learn to control it a bit and aim your concentration and disregard certain, you know, don't open that door, stay with the tour guide, that kind of thing. I've learned to do that. We're on a tour. Just focus on the tour guide. I know he was pointing to that area over there, and I could sit and stare at that particular painting for a day and a half, but we're just going to think about it later, and I'm going to move on. I've had to do that, too. So all sorts of things. But is that average? And, you know, you might be expecting too much of everything of yourself, you know? And it doesn't make you a moral degenerate. To not destroy yourself with some sort of expectations created on the outside by who knows who. I don't even know. Sometimes, did you ever try? I've traced the origin of some of my values straight to television. And it's astounding. You know, oh, I don't know, was that from church or my mom or something? Oh, no, it's not. It's from the Brady Bunch or something. And you're horrified. And you go, well, I don't want Shortridge Schwartz in my head necessarily. Not that I'm sure he's a fine fellow. I don't know him. He's not there. He's not my neighbor. He's not there showing up every day. He's not the one wiping my butt. Now, Shortridge Schwartz wiped butts.
his own children, right? But not, you know, that's good. And maybe we are connected somehow. I think that about the radio. Oh, people find, people talking on a train, and blah, 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 and then, oh, my name will come up. Hardy White, you know Hardy White? Yes, Hardy White. I don't know that that's ever happened. No, that's not true. A listener told me they were getting a sandwich or something, and my name came up, and then a stranger, and they both knew who I was. But I don't know that that seems like the time it happened. And they immediately wrote me to tell me. But that's okay. I mean, here's an example of that. My grandfather spent some time in Youngstown when he was a young man. He's probably about 14, I think, when he lived there. And he was retired in Florida, minding his own business. And he had the bug man come, the spray man come. They used to spray your house with so much poison. If it didn't smell like Raid, then you knew you weren't doing a good job. But in Florida, you know, people are like, there's bugs in my house. Of course there are. It's Florida. But, you know, so I don't want to, I'm from New Jersey. It's not, we don't have this as many bugs. I go, well, you know, now you're in the swamp. So the guy came in and they got to talking, and this guy says, yes, I'm from Youngstown. And my grandfather says, oh, how about that? And they got to talking, and this fella says, yes, do you know Bonesetter Reese? So yes, I know Bonesetter Reese. And they start talking about Bonesetter Reese. They both knew Bonesetter Reese. So there you go. And that's just like the thing. Maybe Hardy White can do that. You see, so, oh, I know. I've listened to him. The only thing is I'm a little bit like, you know, the different perspectives. An elephant's flat like a pancake, and it's round like an elephant is round like an elephant foot umbrella stand. No, an elephant is rope-like, like an elephant tail rope. No, an elephant is like an elephant snout. I don't know how the story goes. And then the elephant drank the ocean, and the little child walked out to collect treasures. But the elephant couldn't hold all the water of the ocean anymore and let it go. And something else. These are all things I learned in school. Or sometimes Sunday school had secular books. I don't know why, just sitting around there in case, I guess, secular children came by. We were on a tour. All churches do that, no matter what. No matter what. If you're in a Reformed Jewish congregation, at some point the Presbyterian minister is going to come over to give a talk. He says, hello. You know, we all should know one another. Like that. That happens a lot. And we're all, aren't we all, but people, some with horns, some without. Like that. And he's good, you know. And then the opposite. The rabbi will go to the Presbyterian church and tell jokes for 20 minutes. So I like that. And that happens all the time. And we joke about it, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, being with people, seeing people, having people in your life, caring about individuals and knowing their name really is important. It's really hard. I know some people can be cruel to a person they know and to their face, but it should be somewhat harder, you know. And we know that from the movies, that individual relationships, individual caring about people does go a long way. And it transcends all images. You know, we get inured at the images, I think. You know, I tell you what, I can't. Sometimes if you're a sensitive person, it's difficult to watch emergency medical shows. I just spent 6 hours in the emergency room. My mother went to the hospital in an ambulance, and she's all right, thank you. But it was scary there for a while, and I was, you know, all night long from at 3 a.m. to 10 a.m. in there in the emergency room. And, you know, that's it. That's, oh gosh, that's just being alive. And it didn't feel like, I'm not trying to get any, it wasn't hard. to just be there. You know, I mean, there's hard parts of it, but, you know, nothing can really be interrupted. I thought if this was going to happen anyway, it's not interrupting anything because this is what was going to happen. So now I'm here and I try to be present. But as a lazy person, that's difficult. I got to fight that, a break out of that, you know, because I think once seated, I'm hard to unseat. I'd be a great king that way. They just, you couldn't physically get me out of the throne. Oh, come on. No, I don't know. That's what, you know, if you really wanted to, somebody, oh, go to Tallahassee and get a local and then, you know, put them in a chair and you'll never get them. They'll never move. And you say, oh, there's this, my band's playing next door. Nah, I don't know. Come on. No, I don't know. I'm in for the night. That kind of stuff. I love my fans. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke that we joke on ourselves in small towns sometimes. But here's the reality. No one has any obligation ever to come see me perform in a small town. Bless you. It's all probably for me. It's mostly vanity anyway. I know you could get better with a record player. And I know there's better performers than all. I'm just doing this because mostly if I perform music out, it's because it's a fantasy camp kind of thing. It's like, I'm in a band. That's how I feel. But amateur stuff, that means for the love of it. Amateur. It's Latin. And it means that you love the thing. Profession. Fashion means like what it sounds like. You're doing it for fashion. You know? Maybe you also love it, but you're getting feshed more than you're getting loved a lot of times. And so, you know, if you do something just to do it, also, you know, the burden of perfection is off, too, because you can just do it. When you get together with friends to make music, it can be as transcendent as listening to a professional do wonderful music. Is this not true? And yet it can be, you know, kind of crude. But that's not the point. The point's the showing up point. That long duration love of being there like WFMU is there for you. Oh, my goodness. This radio station is like that, too. I really feel that way. It's the, it makes no demands of you. Now, I'm a shy person, and it is just once I could order things to come to my door without having to talk to anybody, that really helped. Now I can do it. Now I'm older and I'm like, how you doing? Let me get it. I'll tell you what I want. But before, you know, that I could just do things sort of anonymously. Radio's always been that way. But it didn't. That radio receiver, especially when it was a small transistor and it was under the covers with me, it didn't know where it was. It was saying the same thing to me as it was saying to a cab driver in the city. Oh, I used to love that idea. It's like, I'm in my bed. And you're in your cab, but I can imagine that I'm in a cab now because we're listening to the same thing. No. Now, some of you are driving through the city right now listening to the sound of Hardy White's voice. Others may be under their covers. Some of you might be under a blanket driving. As long as it's not obscuring your vision, there's nothing wrong with that. You can bundle up whatever you want. Anything can be clothes. But I would wear them now. It's still chilly. I'm not offended by any way you want to dress or not dress, to be honest with you. I'm very good at minding my own business. Mainly because I don't know. Unless you were wearing sort of a tunic that had pictures of me and then some slur stamped across my face, then I might have an opinion of your clothing. Other than that, I don't know. But I would never say to you, a male over 40 in shorts, I'm going to be sick. I'm not going to be sick. I'm going to be sick like, oh, violence and injustice against children. And a pork pie hat. Oh, no. See, just the violence, injustice.
not the hat. So, for me, to be tolerant is not to ignore things, but to be open, you know, just to say, oh, I love you. Here's what I don't understand. And that's what I usually, not here's what I believe. Here's what I think and I understand. And here's what I don't understand. And here's where I am now. So that I'm not lying to myself or others. If I make some sort of statement like, you shouldn't do that. It's hard for me to do that knowing what I know. And what do I know? I know what I don't know. And so therefore, it's very difficult. But it's just easier for me than trying to give you high impact, short duration advice to just be there every, I'm going to say it, dang week for 10 years. Some of you more when I was on in Florida. So someone said, oh, I've been listening to you for 20 years. How about that? Oh, my goodness. 20 years together. If you were 15, you're now 35. If you were 35, you are now 50. If you were 50 when you started listening to me, you are now 65. It doesn't seem like there's any difference there. That just seems the same. Probably the same person. I don't know. If you listen to me in utero, you are now old enough to study me in college, where they won't. You're not going to find anything. I went all through our Norton anthology of silly radio personalities, and you weren't there. I know. It's a disgrace. The only canon I'm in is the one at the circus that shoots out clowns. I'm in that one. Or sometimes it shoots out Dom DeLuise if it's Cannonball Run. Is it Cannonball Run or Smokey and the Bandit? Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run. Which is the one with Pat McCormick? And then they're in the circus. And then, I don't know. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to go to the 70s. I was watching something the other day, and I knew it was funny because it had a bassoon in it. And that's how you know there's going to be, because bassoon sounds like buffoon. Therefore, the bassoon is the musical buffoon. And that's how you remember it in, because just go listen to anything in the, right now, go listen to, go watch Addams Family. Or go watch Gilligan's Island. I mean, the first time I actually went to a symphony, I was like, what is that? What is that? Is this supposed to be funny? I go, no, it's not. I go, but they're using the funny instrument. No. Now they're using the snake charmer instrument. They all have something. Carnival of the Instruments. They all have a thing that they identify when you hear it. When we hear the clarinet, we think, what? Jazz, the early crazy kind of jazz, right? The early kind of jazz that had crazy Ube Iwerks cartoons coming at you going, woo, that kind of jazz. You think that. Flute, you think like 60s, yeah. Like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, maybe let's have some coffee. Early 60s. That's what I get when I hear the flute. Cello. What do I think when I hear the cello? I just get sad. I just get, I'm sure they've written some happy cello music. But I just feel melancholy sometimes. It just sounds like a person going, I was at a party with the fella who's the violinist in the symphony. Here, first chair, high chair, the high chair. And they did that one time. They put him in a big high chair with a little tray. He could set his violin down on the tray and have some junket when he wasn't playing. No, a first chair or something, or a leader of the head. I don't know what he is. Concert master? I think he's the concert master. And he told, I'm not going to tell any of the viola jokes, but I was thinking, how about that? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I said, have you heard drummer jokes? And we sat there. We had some fun for a while. I go, I come from garage bands, and so we have drummer jokes, but you have viola. That's fun. And we sat there, and we smugly mocked other musicians, who all of whom were better than us, I'm sure. Not this fella. Oh, me, though. I do things for the love of things. I speak on the radio for the love of it. I talk to you for the love of it. I create for the love of it. That's why there seems to be no rhyme or reason. What is the point of this whole show? How'd you even get on? I'll tell you how I got on. I got on because I'm a marathon radioer. You can hear it in my voice. You can hear it. You know that I'm trying for a deeper connection over time. I'm doing something. I want to come in and live there in your mind palace. No, not live there. I'd never live there for free. No. I'm willing to be a groundskeeper there at your mind palace. I don't want to go inside. I want to see your things. I want to take care of the outside. The outside of your mind palace. I'm like, there's some grounds. I don't know if you know this. And so all those things around it, I want to try to take care of for you. I want to be there when it, only the outside can help you. When only a beautiful, temporary, beautiful thing like a tulip or a hand reached out from a friend, an imperfect friend, a silly old friend, some old man that's a neighbor or something, when you're down to all your cool, beautiful friends won't come over, and then you notice Mr. White's there shuffling off back with his Kung Pao. So I got some Kung Pao. I'm going back apartment to eat it. And you go, you know, hey, Mr. White, you going to eat that alone? And you go, no, I probably have a beer. And you go, no, I mean, you'll be, you know, by yourself. And you go, yeah, I guess that's going to be by myself. I might talk to myself in other voices. That's not healthy. I know, but I probably still do it. And then you say, well, why don't you just come over? And you know, you're my absolute last choice. But why don't you come over and have some, and we'll be together. You know, that's better than being alone. And I realize now maybe if I just lower the bar to people who are not just not going to kill me. I used to include people who are going to say, well, what about people who bore you to death? You know, I don't know. It's not such a bad way to die. I'll go with that. Yeah, and now I know how to be with people, I think, too. I know how to I know how to be honest without being hurtful. I know how to not project my own insecurities, I think. I'm getting there. I'm learning all these things. I get tips, like I say, a lot of times they're on the back of a packet of, oatmeal. Might be where you read it. All of Taoism. All of the idea that these things can affect other things, that my movements. What if I disrupt something? Said the oatmeal packet. But the oatmeal packet also said, although this is not yellow millet, look up yellow millet dream and understand that too, except get a different point from it. I like using traditional stories, but then changing the moral. Just adjusting it, you know. Making it, customizing it, making it more for, like, if you were getting a car from another country, you'd want the steering wheel to be on the right side or the left side, depending on what was the custom in your country. And I feel like that for stories. I might have to take your story, oh, other culture, and just absolutely flip it around and make it opposite. But thank you. I'll return it. It's not even the same thing. Can you imagine that? I wonder if that you take a photo negative, is that considered copyright infringement? It's look, it's a totally different thing. Maybe, maybe not. I don't want to get into that. Why? Because I've lost my train of thought, and I don't remember what we were really speaking about, and I do that on purpose. Why? Oh, some things aren't worth storing. Look, you don't have to save everything. Let's say you come over, and we do some crafts, and we make all these elaborate buildings out of cardboard and everything. We don't have to preserve them. It was the experience. Throw it away. We'll build something else out of something else. You know, we don't have to hang on to it and make it precious. That the good stuff is inside of us, and we take it everywhere we go. The things that I've inherited from my grandmother, for instance, was not her car, which she gave to her son, my uncle, but the idea of tenacious love, of loyal love, of being there, and making room for you always. That's what she taught me. So I can always bring that. I bring that around. And that's so great. I can put that anywhere. And my expectation of having it in her, it doesn't have to be in her. It can be in anybody. Oh, I love being with you. And yeah, I know you're there. Come on, think about it. You know I feel you. You know I sense your presence. How could I not? Because when you speak like this or these things, they are things that only make sense in the context of other people. So you know, I really am thinking about you. You know that if you were here with me, I'd be saying the same thing. I wouldn't change my opinion. And that hopefully you'd be nodding your head and smiling. And then after the performance, we eat the leftover popcorn. Listen, I would love you to pledge your money. That's what we're doing now, is we're having to, this thing needs you. And if you love me and you love of this, it's a long term. It's not always satisfying. And the ad pitches are not always perfect. I can't find a perfect way to say these things, that this station's valuable to you, that it's valuable to your very soul and the souls of others, and that you could change the world with things like that. I'd love to say it in such a way that's so impactful and dramatic that everything happens and boom, everything's paid for it, but that isn't the way. I'll move you maybe a little bit. I'll $5, $10 move you, and we just do that. We dig out of that prison camp a spoonful at a time, every one of us bringing what we can to the situation, all our special idiosyncratic variations. That's what we bring to it. Oh, my friend, we need every single one of you. Everybody can help. I'll tell you what, I know you say, oh, don't tell them that they can help without even giving money. If you don't have any to give, don't give any. Here's priority. Eat. Have shelter. Yes, do that first. But then, instead of buying one of the hats where you can put beer in it and then sip on the beer that's in your hat, perpetuate the idea of variation, of exposing people to all sorts of ways of feeling. It transcends thinking. It's turning people on to different ways of feeling, of experiences. That's different from thinking. That's being. If you want somebody to be in something different, oh, then support this beautiful thing. Say, so go online. I know I'm supposed to say that it's WFMU.org and everything. Just, I can't remember all the other information. They tell me every year, and they think I'm being... It's the concentration thing. I'd be doing another job, let me tell you, if I could do it. But you are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much, my friends, and I'll see you again next week.
Oh! Thank you.